though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Why, there we go. If you haven't met me, my name's Brendan. As Danny said, I'm the pastor at Uni Church, and it's great to be with you this morning. We're going to have a look at Psalm 46, so please keep that open in front of you. But before we begin, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask this morning that you would give us ears to hear what you are saying and hearts to understand, that we would not only conceptually grasp what you are saying, but that we would feel it, that it would overwhelm us and change us and give us great confidence and joy. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, years ago, I worked as a relief bank teller, and it was a great job until we had 9 robberies in 10 months in our region. It was kind of full on, and everyone was terrified. We were so scared. Would we be next? And so the bank had to take some precautions. What are we going to do to make our staff feel safe? So what the bank did was, after a few of the robberies happened, they hired some security guards. But the move actually backfired horribly. It was nothing to do with that security guards are bad. It was just the security guards that the bank hired were bad. We got the worst security guards you could ever imagine. I remember this one guy at one of the branches I worked at. He was the tiniest guy I'd ever seen. He was puny, and I got talking to him and asking him about, well, what do you know? Like, if something were to happen, can you help us? Like, what are you going to... Oh, look, I haven't really had any training. I had a week of training. Do you have any weapons? No. I'm totally unarmed. Oh, okay, cool. I'm thinking, I could take this guy, you know. But what was worse was that this guy used to sit down on the job the whole time. I mean, if you're a security guard, you need to be standing there as a presence. He kept sitting down and it just drove us nuts. We were thinking, whatever happens, we're in deep doo-doo. It was a big backfire. All of the tellers were scared, and they were scared for 2 reasons. We knew just how chaotic banking can be when you're under the threat of robberies constantly. But the other reason was we knew our guard wasn't up to the job. And it's the same for us. We live in a chaotic world. Just read the newspapers and you'll see how chaotic our world can be. Planes go missing or they get shot down. A young cricketer dies in his prime playing the game he loves. Sieges in Sydney, in Paris, for people who are just getting a cup of coffee. Bushfire chaos? Did you see the smoke yesterday? And that's just the stuff on the news. We all have chaos and fears in our own lives that shake us to our core. And it can be easy to wonder, what difference does God make to it all? Is God up to the job of protecting me? And the answer in Psalm 46 is a resounding yes. God is able to protect us from our chaotic world. Well, why? Well, what we're going to see is it's because God, who always wins, is with us, so we can withstand anything. God, who always wins, is with us, so we can withstand anything. But it's not enough to know this intellectually. We need to feel it. And Psalm 46 is written to grip our hearts and persuade us that God is up to the job. And the first thing that Psalm 46 tries to persuade us of is that God's protection is not limited. We can withstand anything. Have a look with me at verses 1 to 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. The situation here is that the world is literally falling apart. There's earthquakes, tsunamis, landslides. What could be more scary? What could be more chaotic? I mean, mountains are moving and trembling. Waters are roaring. Disaster is everywhere. And the psalmist, he should be shaken. You don't just stand there confidently in the middle of an earthquake. But he isn't scared at all. He fears nothing. Why? Is he naive of the danger? Is he putting his head in the sand? No, he sees just how chaotic the danger is. He just described it to us very well. So why isn't he scared? It's because he looks past the chaos. He looks beyond it. He looks above it. He sees God. And God is stronger than the chaos. God is bigger than the chaos. God is not oblivious or apathetic to what's going on. God is with him. And so he knows he can withstand anything. Isn't that what Jesus' first followers were meant to think in the storm? Do you remember the story where they're out on the boat and Jesus was asleep? And as he slept, disaster struck. A perfect storm came up around them. The waves pounded, the rain pelted, the wind belted them. And the boat started filling with water. But Jesus kept sleeping. The chaotic storm made the disciples freak out. They shook Jesus until they woke him. And they yelled at him, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" And Jesus, do you remember what he did? He simply got up and spoke. And the chaos became calm. And do you remember what Jesus said to them? "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" If they knew who it was that was with them, if they'd realized how powerful Jesus is, they would have known that there was no reason to be afraid. With him, they could withstand anything. Think about how those tellers felt in the bank, and think how they would have felt if the bank had hired a really good security guard. I'm thinking John Rambo. You know Rambo in the Rambo movies? There's a guy who's focused, well-trained, armed to the hilt with every kind of weapon you could imagine. He knows how to kill a man 10 times before he hits the ground, that sort of thing. If you had that as your security guard in a bank under chaos, I think not only would you be safe, you'd feel incredibly safe. Who is with you changes how safe you feel. And if you're a Christian, you're meant to see from this psalm, Rambo is with you. Jesus is God with us. He's that powerful. The one who cares about you is the one who's in control of everything. Nothing can do us any lasting harm. We'll withstand everything until we reach Jesus' new creation. God will guard us and protect us. We'll make it to a world with no more disaster, dysfunction, and death. And God is the one who will get us there. I bet there are times in your life where it feels like your world is falling apart. Your marriage is breaking apart, or maybe it's broken down. You're stuck in a job that's exhausting and repetitive, and you just wish you could do something else. Or maybe your health or the health of someone you love is failing and it's just getting worse and worse. Whatever the chaos is that the world is throwing at you, you don't need to fear it. What's the worst that can happen? Any chaos will be used by God either to make you a better fit for his new creation or to take you there. God will not push you beyond what you can handle. You're safe. You have nothing to fear. You can withstand anything if Jesus is with you. But how do we know that God is with us? How do we know Jesus is on our side? How can we be sure that he will protect us? Well, the second stanza shows us we can be sure that God is with us. Look at verses 4 to 7. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So if you read through the Old Testament, you'll find that God is a God who dwells with people. God dwelt with Adam and Eve in Eden, and it was awesome. But they rebelled against God and got kicked out of God's presence. Ever since then, we've had an unstable, hostile world, and it's hostile to God. The nations rage against him. They don't like God being in control. And yet it's not all bad news, because throughout history, God still chose to dwell with people. God dwelt with Abraham, and he's been with Abraham and his descendants ever since, helping them. From Abraham came Isaac, and from Isaac came Jacob. And through Jacob, God established an entire nation that he would dwell with, especially in his holy city, Jerusalem. And look at what it means that God is with these people. The chaotic waters there that we saw in verses 3, they've been tamed now in verse 4. They've become life-giving streams to the city. And this people, they're glad. They're happy because they know God is with them. And if God is with them, they're secure. Nothing can tear them down. He's the God who controls creation with a word. He's even the God of armies. That's what it means when it says he's the Lord of hosts. It's just saying he's the Lord of armies. The people of God have security and satisfaction. It's good to be one of God's people. But what about me? Will God dwell with me? Or have I missed the boat because I've got the wrong DNA? And the answer is a good one. God will come and be with you. Israel and Jerusalem were just a taste of what God was doing. The real dwelling place of God was not a city or a country. It was a person. It is Jesus. Jesus is God with us. That's why he's called Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. Jesus is God with us. He's God's presence on earth. And that's the miracle of Christmas that we just celebrated. When Jesus was born, the Creator entered into his creation. He came to open up for everyone the way into God's city, the way into God's presence. And do you know how Jesus did that? He let the nations rage against him, just like we have here. He lived in the chaos of a broken world. He went through what we go through. And worse, for the final thing he had to do to open up the way into God's city was to die on the cross. He experienced the worst pain that the evil powers of this world could dish out. And he won. On top of that, Jesus even took on himself God's wrath. The punishment we rightly deserve for our rejection of God went onto him. By Jesus' death, God experienced the worst for us. And that's why we can be sure that God wants the best for us, that he's with us. The worst job in the Hurley house is changing my son Ethan's nappies. It's a frustrating and smelly job. It's a job you never want to do. And he wriggles everywhere, so it makes it incredibly difficult. And what he can do in those nappies, my goodness, it's amazing. But I tell you what, when Laura volunteers to change Ethan's nappies, there is no better way to say I love you. To say I'm with you. I'm on your team. Let's do this together. I'm for you. If God was willing to enter our broken world and die on a cross for us, if he was to take that job, if he would go to such lengths for our good, how could we ever think God doesn't love us? How could we ever think he's not on our side? How could we ever think God isn't going to do what's best for us? Even when our world's falling apart, even in the small day-to-day stuff, even in those huge life decisions that keep you up at night. Even when it looks like you're missing out on the best of this world has to offer by being a Christian. The cross is God's guarantee that he is with all who trust Jesus. God is definitely with you. He's on your side. He's rooting for you. He's not out to sabotage you. But being with you now, protecting you now, is not all that God is doing. Because God also has a future goal in mind for you. History, life, time has a direction where it's all going. And that's why we can live in hope. And in the last stanza, we see where it is all going. We see that God will win. Look at verse 8 to 11. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. In verse 8, we start with what God has done. God's works now. All the things we have looked at so far are a preview of what God will do. There is a time coming when our mighty God will declare enough is enough. He will put a stop to the conflict, the chaos, the inconsistency and instability of our world. But look at verse 9. When that happens, here's what's going to happen. He will bring in world peace. But he does it by destroying all his enemies. God will destroy all fighting everywhere. The Middle East, there'll be no more conflict. North and South Korea, they'll get on fantastically. At your workplace, you and your boss won't clash all the time. In your relationships, oh, it won't be as frustrating. All the fighting will be gone. And not only that, God will destroy all weaponry. All the AK-47s, all the missiles, all the tanks, all the harsh words people use as weapons, all the lies, they will be gone. Can you picture it? The chaos, the hostility of this world will be no more. God's people will enter a new world, a new city, a new creation where life is what it should be. People won't be at war with God or with each other anymore. And yet, whilst these verses reassure us of what our future is like as God's people, they also act as a warning, especially in verse 10. Have a look again at verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Now, verse 10 isn't telling Christians to quietly meditate on who God is. It's a warning from God to all the raging, unstable nations. The be still is the same language that Jesus used when he calmed the storm. He said, be still, and it went calm. It's God's rebuke to the world. God is warning people who rebel against him, I will win. I will triumph. I will be exalted. I'm God. Victory is guaranteed when you're God. You're betting on a sure thing here. Nothing or no one can beat God. By saying, be still and know that I am God, God is saying to anyone who doesn't follow Jesus, stop fighting me. Stop ignoring me. Stop opposing me. Stop living with yourself as king. I'm the true king. I'm a better king. I'm the most powerful of all kings. Don't you realize who you're up against? See, the point here is God will bring peace, and it'll happen either by your voluntary surrender and submission or by your destruction later. And so God's saying to the world, why be destroyed? He's appealing to them. Why be destroyed? I'm offering you a pardon. I'm offering you life. You want to be with the one who will win, not against him. At the church offices, when we take a break, a lot of us love to play doubles ping pong. It's taken me a while, but I think I've mastered doubles ping pong. But there's a secret to it. It's not actually that my ping pong game is very good. Do you want to know the secret to doubles ping pong? It's making sure you're on the same team as the best player. Now, to protect some egos, I won't tell you who that is. Tyler. But I think it's a brilliant strategy because it's a double whammy. All that firepower that would have been against you is now working for you. You can't lose. And it's like that with Jesus. You can't beat him, so join him. And if you do, you'll find that it's actually awesome to be on his side. On his side, the power that could destroy you is now protecting you from the rest of the world. His cross, his empty tomb, they stand as rock-solid proof that Jesus will triumph. And that those he protects will triumph as well. As to which side you're on, the choice is yours. But the outcome will be the same. The cross and the empty tomb show us that. God is God. He will win. The world threw the best it could at Jesus, and he stood firm. Jesus will be exalted no matter what. Why rob yourself of the joy, the hope, the security, the boldness that come from following Jesus? If you are with Jesus, you have nothing to fear. If you're against him, you have everything to fear. So whose side are you on? But let's finish with our original question. Is God up to the job of protecting us? Well, it's as we look at Jesus that we see he is. God, who always wins, is with us so we can withstand anything. But what difference should that make to our lives? Well, you know, if I really believe that, I don't just sort of know it here, if I believe that here, how are things going to change? And the answer is, we no longer need to live paralyzed by fear. Because God is doing his job of protecting us, we can do our job well. We can actually go and do mission well. We can take bold risks for Jesus. The most secure people live the riskiest lives. If you believe God is with you, you will take risks that people will think are crazy. You might risk your time. You give up time to tell people about Jesus. I had a friend who he gave up a day a week at work just so he could meet with people and read the Bible with them. You might give up time. You might give up your money. I had a mate of mine who became an apprentice, a pastor, and he went from a six-figure salary to way, way less. And all his friends just couldn't understand it. Why would you do that? It's because he was secure in Christ. You might risk your popularity. Hey, I'm going to tell people about Jesus. Oh, look, they may not think that's really PC, but it's so important. And I know I care more about what Jesus thinks of me than what they think of me. I'm going to do that. I'm going to tell them about Jesus. You might risk your comfort. Hey, it's so much easier just not giving to things. And I really want that big screen TV. But people could come to know Jesus if I give that money. See, when we're secure in Jesus, you can risk it all. And why wouldn't you? God is with you. You have so much to gain. Actually, you have so many people to gain. And nothing to lose. So are you living confident in Christ? Have you seen how great his protection is? If you are, what risks will you take for Jesus? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that we can be confident that we are secure in Christ. Thank you that we can know that you are with us. Thank you that we can know we will withstand anything. Thank you we can know that in the end, you will win. And there will be great vindication and glory and joy for us as your people. Father, we ask that in the meantime, help us to live knowing how safe we are. Help us to live confident, bold, and risky lives because we know that we are safe in Christ. Free us up from fear and let faith be the driving force behind how we think about everything. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.